This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. I am so happy to be with you today. I certainly am. I love spending this time with you Monday through Friday as we discuss issues of importance to your life and your faith. I'm always eager to hear from you here. I certainly am, and I do invite you to give us a call here. We've got a toll-free number for you if you're here in North America. That number is 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN. We invite you to use that number often. Yes, we do. I love when our phones are ringing and we're able to have you on the air and we can chit-chat together and talk about all of the wonderful ways in which God is actively engaged in our lives, because he always is. So do call us. It's a Tuesday. We like to call it Testimony Tuesday, when you give testimony for the marvelous deeds of the Lord. You know, we're really called to do that. We're really called to proclaim the marvelous deeds of the Lord. It tells us so in sacred scripture. And it is probably, as I've shared with you many times, you know, the best way to evangelize. And by the way, we are all called to evangelize. By virtue of our baptism, we are baptized into the mission of the propagation of the faith, the mission of bringing people into a deeper relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ by way of the church which he founded, which is our Catholic Church. Sometimes we as Catholics are really shy about doing that, and I'm not quite certain that I know why. I just know that that's the case. Oh, well, my faith is very private to me. Why? Why should your faith be private? We don't celebrate the greatest prayer of the church, the Mass, you know, by ourselves. We celebrate it in union with other people. That in and of itself is sort of like a, you know, a camera shot of what is meant to be the entirety of our life, that we're called to share our faith. And I think the other reason is, well, I don't want to impose my faith on anyone. Well, nobody's asking you to impose. Nobody wants to be imposed upon for anything. We don't like imposition, right? But what we are calling for is a proposal of the faith. Most people are open to a proposal of the faith. So we don't want to impose. We want to propose the faith. And if we don't speak the truth to someone, who is going to do it? You know, I look at my life and I think to myself, you know, if every human person that crosses my path is intended to cross my path in some way, I am to invite, I am to encourage. I am meant in some way to be an ambassador for our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, scripture tells us that too. We're called to be an ambassador of the Lord. This doesn't mean that you go running around tapping on everybody's shoulder and saying, hey, have you ever thought about going to the Catholic Church? I mean, it's not that kind of a thing, but you can do it. You can do it just by way of your actions, right? You can do it by a smile. You can do it by a wave. You can do it by a kind gesture. You can do it by just the fact that you had your time of prayer in the day and you've asked the Lord, you know, to let you be an aroma of Christ in the marketplace. You know, there's that beautiful passage, I think it's in Corinthians, where it says, St. Paul says, we are an aroma of Christ. We are an aroma of Christ. You know, the very reality that the life of Christ is going on within us, right? That we are actively engaged in union with God, that we are always seeking him and seeking his will for us and, you know, holding holy conversation with him throughout the course of the day through, you know, little intentional statements of faith or requests for prayer. Oh, sweet Jesus, have mercy on your daughter. You know, that's me. You know, I pray that a lot, you know. Oh, Lord, save your daughter from herself. I pray that a lot, too. Father God, have mercy on me, a sinner. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you because by your holy cross, you have redeemed the world. That's been coming into my mind over and over again. I don't know why. We're heading towards Advent, but that's a Lenten refrain. You know, we pray that prayer when we pray the Stations of the Cross. But that's been playing in my heart, you know. So, in all of those ways, you know, by virtue of our life in faith and our intention intentional life in faith in faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, there is a Holy Spirit aroma, you know, that comes off of us. I don't know how to explain it. It sounds very peculiar, doesn't it, though? But I think that is where, you know, the sweet fragrance of the Lord is emitted through us just by showing up and striving to be his son or his daughter. So on Tuesdays, you know, I like to hear about how you've affected that. Maybe in the past week, maybe at a significant moment in your life, maybe at an opportune time when someone was ripe, R-I-P-E, you know, and you were able to harvest that soul for our Lord Jesus Christ, right? You know, we want to hear about it. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us today. Also want to invite you to use the chat feature at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel. We're there for you. I'm waving to you. If you're out there, I can't see you, but you can see me. All of that being said, we invite you to use the chat feature and to put in your question or comment or, you know, your testimony. I would love to read it on the air here and share it with everybody. When we know that others are out there actively engaged in this mission of evangelization, it gives us encouragement to do likewise. It's really very true. It gives us encouragement to do likewise. I came back to the faith. I was just wandering around doing my own thing. I wasn't practicing any other particular faith. I wasn't going to Mass, but I wasn't going to any kind of Sunday service. I was just doing what Johnette wanted to do, right? But I had a friend a woman who became my friend, really, and she shared her testimony with me. And in sharing her testimony, it just ignited a fire in my soul. I mean, I often say it's as if God the Father dipped his finger into my soul and stirred up my baptismal graces. And I began to have a hunger and a thirst for the things of God. And when I asked her if I could have a relationship, did she think it was possible for me to have a relationship with Jesus like she did? She said yes. And she invited me to a charismatic prayer meeting. And that was in August of 1981. And let me tell you something, nothing has ever been the same. From that moment forward, nothing has been the same. It has been an adventure. It's been a romance. It's been a way of life. Put any descriptive that's positive on it, and it's been that for me. It's been a mainstay. It's been a rudder. It's been an anchor in times of great sorrow and great tragedy and great travail. It's been a constant force in my life, even when I was not as faithful as I could be to my time of prayer or whatever it might have been. I was always brought back. Sometimes I think it's like, you know, our Blessed Lady said, oh my goodness sakes, I just got to pull her out by the tip of her ear. And you know, that happens. So all of that being said, I'm eager to hear your story today. 833-288-EWTN is the way that you can share it. That's 833-288-3986. Let's proclaim the marvelous deeds of the Lord together today. Use the chat feature at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and or text us your comments. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for a response. And then put in your name, how it is that you're listening, where you are located, your comment, and do know that data and message rates may apply. We are talking about the things of the Lord and his mighty deeds in our life today. So do give us a call right here at Women of Grace Live, 833-288-EWTN. Coming right back on the other side of the break. Stay with us.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open, 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. So happy to be with you on this Tuesday in the Lord. Always eager to hear from you. We kind of have demarcated, if you will, Tuesdays to be our Testimony Tuesday. This is a day that we want to give glory to God for all of the ways in which he has given us the opportunity to share our testimony with other people. So I'm inviting you to call. You know, we've got a broad platform here. You can reach out to the masses through Women of Grace Live, and you can share your testimony today with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands, I don't know, millions, I don't know, however many souls, but more than you'd get in any other kind of a setting, I can tell you that much. So we certainly do invite you to give us a call. Toll free for you here if you're in North America. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We're also available for you out there if you're not in North America and your number is country code 1-205-271-2985. That's country code 1-205-271-2985. We're available for you at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel. The chat feature's there. Just put your question or comment in there. We will get it retrieved up on the board. Your testimony, of course, is what we're asking for today. Let us know who you are, how you're listening. You know, probably it's YouTube, but who knows? It might not be. And as well as, you know, where it is that you're calling or contacting us from, we will get that retrieved and up on the board. Or you can text us. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Put in your name, where you are, how you're listening, what your comment is, obviously. And in addition to all of that, do know that message and data rates may apply depending upon your plan. We are encouraging you, obviously, to get out to our website, womenofgrace.com, too, because we've got all kinds of good things there for you. We certainly do. Do want to mention, too, if you're a first-time caller or first-time submitter, you know I want to know about that. I have my little bell here. I like to ring it for our first-time callers for your debut on the program. So we invite you to let us know that good news, that this is your first time calling. Matthew Gubensky will take your phone calls. Michael McCall will retrieve your questions and comments via social media. Get them up on the board. We have Charles Beery today sitting in for Rich Jesse. We're happy to have him with us. And we're happy to have you with us today, too. We've got a caller. You can join our caller, 833-288-EWTN. We've got Gaines with us from New York, listening via Station of the Cross. Happy to have you with us, Gaines. How are you?
Oh, hi, Jana. I just want to say that I'm a longtime listener, and I love you guys. But I was calling about what you were speaking about as testimonies. And,
yes.
And it just happened to me this morning that I met, I was talking with a girl I know, and I told her, I asked her, has she's ever been baptized Catholic? And she said, oh, yeah, I was baptized Catholic, and I had my communion, and I was confirmed. And I told her, I said, yeah, you know, a lot of people don't realize this, but if you've had all of those sacraments, it's easy for you to come back to the church by going to the confessional and talking to the priest and telling him what you need to tell them, and you know you're there, you're welcome home. And it just happened to me this morning. I was talking to a lady, and she said that she had all of those sacraments, and it excited me. And I told her, I said, if you want to, there's a church right here, a Catholic church. You can go over there and make an appointment with the priest, and you know, you could join easily, and this is home. This is where we want to be.
Well, I got to tell you, Gaines, I am so excited, you know, and I don't think that's by happenstance. I think that God knew that we would be talking about, you know, testimonies today, and he gave you an opportunity, and your holy boldness is something that I deeply admire. It's one thing, you know, to be kind of obnoxious. It's another thing to have holy boldness, and that's what you displayed there. You saw the opportunity. And with great courtesy and with great respect for the other person, you shared the good news. You can come back to the faith. All it takes is walking into the confessional. That's exactly the way that I came back to the faith. You know, after that prayer meeting, I took myself to the sacrament of confession. What a freeing moment that was for me. I just want to tell you, that was absolutely tremendous. The priest was so kind, so gracious, so loving, just absolutely remarkable. And you shared that good news with this individual, with this woman. And now, you know, you planted that seed. And I am just certain that the Holy Spirit is going to continue to water that seed. Now, whether or not that woman will allow that seed to continue to grow in her is really up to her. But you did what the Lord would have you do in that moment. And you did it. You took advantage of the opportunity. You saw the opening, you know, and you stepped into that opening with, you know, full confidence in God's love for her and his desire for her to return to experience the fullness of that love that he has in mind for her. So I am just so happy, you know, that you did that and that you took advantage of that opportunity. Thank you so very much for doing that.
Oh, yeah, my pleasure. We talked about the little slap that the bishop gives you that symbolizes that you are a soldier in Christ's army.
That's right. That's right. How I wish that they would bring that little practice, you know, back to the sacrament of confirmation again. You know, you and I obviously are of a certain age, and we remember quite well. I was confirmed prior to the Second Vatican Council, and the bishop would give us a little tap on the cheek. You know, it wasn't a big old happy slap, you know. It was
right.
Just a little touch on the cheek to remind us that we were a soldier for Christ Jesus, which is really what the sacrament of confirmation is about. It's about, you know, stepping boldly into the call and the mission that is ours to proclaim the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ and to be defenders of the faith. That's what that sacrament is truly about. That is what it always was about in its ancient sense, in its traditional sense. And we've kind of forgotten that reality today because we live in a time of false ecumenism in many cases and a time of political correctness. And so we hold back. But that's not the way of the Lord. I don't remember Jesus ever holding back. And you sure didn't hold back today. So I am so happy that you were an ambassador for our Lord Jesus Christ. So that passage, Gaines, and for all of you listening, is 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. What kind of an appeal? An appeal for souls, right? An appeal for souls. And then the next sentence says, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. That's precisely what you were doing today, Gaines. You were imploring this woman to be reconciled to God by way of the sacrament of reconciliation. That's beautiful.
I thought you might want to hear that, Jenna.
Well, I surely did. I hope you can tell by my excitement and tone of voice.
Yeah.
I'm glad. Gaines, thank you so much for living the reality of who you've been called to be by our Lord Jesus Christ, a proclaimer of the good news. I appreciate you so much, and I appreciate your call. What a beautiful way to start off our program. Thank you. Thank you so, so much. And friends, we invite you to call in with your testimony as well. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's toll-free for you right here in North America. We do love having this holy conversation with you. You know that we do. We tell you all of the time. We tell you all of the time because I want you to be assured of it. That's why I want you to, when you think of Women of Grace, say, I am welcome at Women of Grace, because you so, so are. Also want to let you know we're available for you at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel. Use the chat feature there. We'll get your question retrieved and up on the board. Text your message to us. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Put in your question. Tell us who you are, where you're calling from, how you're listening, and do know that data and message rates may apply. We've got Maggie out there. Maggie is listening to us from Massachusetts via the EWTN app. Good morning to you, Maggie.
Oh, good morning, Jeanette.
I'm ringing the bell. I've been told, ring the bell, and I'm ringing the bell for you, Maggie.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I had called before a while back, but I didn't hear that bell, so thank you. Love
You're
it.
So welcome. So tell us.
I have a question and a prayer request.
Sure.
My question is, I'd like to petition, I just love our saints, our friends in heaven.
Yes.
And I petition them often, and there's one that's been on my heart. She's not a saint yet, but she's up for canonization or the cause for her sainthood. Sister Claire Crockett. I don't know if you've heard of her.
Yes, I have.
And I love her story. And so my son is struggling with alcoholism very, very heavily, just really struggling. He's in a treatment facility right now. And, of course, I've been praying for him for years. And so I want to petition her. I know she also had that struggle herself. And I'm wondering if you know, is there a certain process or prayers or to go about petitioning a saint, because she'll need three miracles. Is that right? Or is it two?
And I'm not really sure what her status is right now. I know the cause is open. I think that she's a servant of God. I do believe that she was a member of the religious order, a relatively new religious order called Home of the Mother. And, I'm out on their website. I'm taking a look right now. Here we go. Yeah, so here's a news update for you. I'll read it right from the website of Home of the Mother. So you're going to want to, Maggie, visit that site frequently because you'll be able to follow the process here. But it says the opening of the cause for the beatification of Sister Claire Crockett will take place on Sunday, January 12th, 2025 in the Cathedral of Alcalá de Henares, please forgive my terrible, terrible accent there, my terrible pronunciation, which is in Madrid, Spain at 5:30 p.m. There's a picture of her there. So apparently, usually the movement is that the cause is opened, servant of God, and that is in coordination with the bishop of the diocese in which the proposed person lived. So that cause is open. They'll look and make sure that there is justification to open the cause. The next step, and what they're doing at that time then is they're really kind of investigatively looking at the life of that person. If they see that there is cause for heroic virtue, they'll move them forward. And the next step is usually to be named a venerable, right? So that's the next step. At that point then, there needs to be a miracle that is worked through the intercession of that saint. And when there is that miracle, it leads to their beatification. Once they're beatified, they need a second miracle, just one more miracle, for canonization. And they look very seriously at miracles. People will send in prayers that have been answered by way of the saint, and then they examine those. There's a postulator for the cause and a vice postulator. There's generally a board of doctors and physicians. Most of the time they're looking for a physical miracle because that is most easily proven to be miraculous. And science today has given us the opportunity to be very specific about that. And so then once all of that is resolved, then they're canonized. So there's a beautiful biography, if you will, of Sister Claire Crockett out on the website of Home of the Mother. In the meantime, there is often, they will promulgate whoever it is that's raising up this cause. Usually it's the religious order. Oftentimes what they will do is they will have a holy card of that proposed saint with a prayer of petition on the back of that you can pray for the forward movement of that saint. And usually that particular prayer will carry ecclesial approval for it. And I'm looking to see if they have that here. It's tough for me to do a full investigation while I'm on the air, but they are asking for prayers. It says, through these 8 years, many people have continuously requested that the necessary steps be taken to study the sanctity of Sister Claire Crockett. The servant sisters of the Home of the Mother, after praying and reflecting intensely on what we should do, saw in this desire of the faithful a clear indication that the Lord was asking us to request the opening of the process of Sister Claire Crockett on the diocesan level. His Excellency Antonio Lucina, Bishop of the Diocese of Alcalá, de Henares has accepted our request. He will preside at the opening ceremony of the cause for beatification of Sister Claire Crockett on January 12, 2025 in the cathedral in Madrid, Spain at 5:30 p.m. So, you know, I think the best thing for you to do, Maggie, if there is not an actual prayer for that that has been given to us yet, then what I would do is I would just form your own prayer. And obviously, you know, our prayers, our spontaneous prayers, or a prayer that you might want to write and pray every day, asking for her intercession for your son would be most acceptable and not a problem at all.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
Uh-huh. Oh, you're
God bless
welcome.
You. I love your done one Woman of Grace, foundational Bible study many times.
And wonderful.
I'm so edified by it. And have some other time I'll call back. I have some beautiful testimonies of just the miracle of the power of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, when we trust God, how he does come through for us. We have to be patient, though. I realize if anyone wants to see a beautiful pro-life video, my daughter, who was pregnant as a teenager, who was pressured to get an abortion but did not, now has this beautiful 5-year-old son. And the live action, if anyone wants, I know the music is playing.
That's okay. Go ahead. We have
YouTube.
A couple of seconds.
You can look up on YouTube, Baby Miles Saved by Live Action Video.
M-I-L-E-S?
M-Y-L-E-S.
M-Y-L-E-S. Okay. Well, Maggie, thank you so very much. You have given testimony today for the cause of Sister Claire. You've indicated the great good news about this grandson of yours and a way for us to appreciate the story of your daughter and her pro-life stance. Beautiful, beautiful. And I'll look forward to you calling back at some other point in time and sharing with us about your Women of Grace experience. We do invite you ladies to join us for a study. We do them online and in person. And get out to our website, womenofgrace.com, to find out more. Maggie, we're going to pray for your son when we get back, so stay on the line. Coming right back, friends.
Jeanette is taking your phone calls. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. We certainly are happy you are with us today, and I'm inviting you to give us a call. It's Tuesday. That's a Testimony Tuesday, and we like to share our testimonies right here on the air so that we might be an aroma of Christ. I've got that passage. I'm going to read it to you, and then we're going to get back to Maggie. We're going to be praying for her son. But this is what we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14, and I'm just going to read it all the way down, you know, to the end of that particular chapter, which is verse 17. Thanks be to God. This is Paul writing to that little church in Corinth. Thanks be to God, who unfailingly leads us on in Christ's triumphal train and employs us to diffuse the fragrance of his knowledge everywhere. We are an aroma of Christ for God's sake, both among those who are being saved and those on the way to destruction. To the latter, an odor dealing death. To the former, a breath bringing life. For such a mission as this, is anyone really qualified? We at least are not like so many who trade on the word of God. We speak in Christ's name, pure in motivation, conscious of having been sent by God and of standing in his presence. What a beautiful, beautiful passage we have there in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. It is an encouraging passage. For such a mission as this, is anyone really qualified? No, but you know what the sentence says. You know what the that little maxim says. You know, God does what? He qualifies the unqualified. He invites us, and he's invited each one of you and me too by way of our baptism. And so you are called to be that aroma of Christ. You are called to be the one who brings the good news to other. You are one to be a fragrance that diffuses. What? Diffuses the fragrance of knowledge of Christ. I love that. I just think it's just absolutely fantastic. Maggie is with us. She is in Massachusetts. She called in today to ask about Sister Claire Crockett, a beautiful young woman who lost her life some years ago, about 8 years ago now, in an earthquake. The cause for her canonization is open, and she's going to be moving forward in that cause in January, this coming January of 2025. Maggie wanted to know if there's a prayer that we can pray, asking for Sister Claire Crockett's intercession. Doesn't seem like there's one that's been written yet. Maybe there will be one that will be available after this step is taken, Maggie. But in the meantime, we can ask her intercession. So if you would like, you know, I would love to pray for your son who is struggling with alcoholism. He is in a rehabilitation center right now. We want to pray for good results, and we want to pray for perseverance, you know, perseverance for him. So, Maggie, do you mind sharing with us what his name is?
Oh, sure. Benjamin.
Benjamin. Okay. All right. So let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, Father God, we come before you in this moment, and we lift up to you your son, Benjamin. Father, you know the struggle that he has. You know how difficult it's been for him as he has tried to break loose from the addiction that is his. Father God, one thing that we know is that you do not want us to be held in bondage by any substance or by any sin. And so it is that we want to come before you in this moment and ask that you would dispense upon your son Benjamin every spiritual blessing in the heavens that he needs, that he might have courage, that he might have perseverance, that he might have resilience, that he might have patience, that he might have joy, that he might have hope, that he might have trust in your never-failing love for him. Father, when we are in the throes of such times in our lives, we can give up hope. We can think that you are not trustworthy. We can turn our back on you because we want quick results. We don't understand that in every struggle, there needs to be that cooperation with the grace that is always pouring down upon us from heaven. So I'm asking that your son would have that heroic capacity to cooperate with the grace that you're giving him, to cooperate with all of the natural help that you're providing for him through the assistance that he's receiving there in the rehabilitation center. Father, we're asking for the intercession of Sister Claire Crockett as we come together in this moment, this beautiful daughter of yours, Lord, that knows something of this struggle. We're asking that through her intercession, this young man would be set free. Maggie, his mother, is making this petition with trust in you and confidence in you, that there is nothing that is outside of your capacity to resolve. Father, we do ask that through the intercession of Sister Claire Crockett, your son Benjamin would be released from this addiction, that when his time in the rehabilitation center is over, that he would leave there emboldened and assured of your love for him. I ask that he would have the stamina to be able to seek the ongoing kind of support that he would need. I ask, Father God, that you would lead him to Catholic in Recovery, a beautiful, beautiful 12-step program that's based on the sacraments. I would ask that you would find for him, a group of Catholic in Recovery that's there in his area, that he might be fortified and strengthened through all that you give us by way of the sacramental structure of our church, and that he might be supported by the encouragement of like-minded men and women. Father, we offer this prayer to you with gratitude in our hearts for the work that you are doing already in Benjamin, and with the confidence that your patient administration of grace would continue throughout the rest of his life, throughout this sojourn of sobriety. We offer this prayer to you, Father, in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. Amen. Oh, Maggie, well, you'll keep us informed, huh?
Yes. Oh, thank you. That was a beautiful prayer. I'm here kneeling in front of the crucifix, and just thank you. Oh, the Holy Spirit is is faithful. God will help him. I know that. So thank you so much, Jeanette.
You're welcome, thank sweetheart. You. Thank you, my sacred sister. God bless you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. You know, how beautiful is it, you know? And this is one thing that we certainly know. God hears the prayers of a mother. He hears the prayers of a father. He does not turn our back on him. We also know that the only thing that withholds the benefit of the blessings that God wants us to receive is our free will. So, you know, oftentimes when we're praying for someone that is in Benjamin's situation, and I didn't think of this until after the prayer was prayed, but we do pray this now, Lord. We pray for a softening of his will, right? We pray that one time I was praying for someone who was struggling in a similar fashion and with that and other things. And I took it to the sacrament of confession, just asking the priest for advice and counsel. And the priest said to me, you know, Jeanette, it's a matter of free will. How you want to pray is you just want to ask the Lord to marinate his free will with grace, to marinate that free will in his grace. Isn't that beautiful? So I prayed that way. So that might be a way also for you, Maggie, to pray, or for any of you that are praying for loved ones who find themselves in the trap of addiction. Let's get to Pete. Pete is in Salem, Massachusetts. You can join Pete today, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the toll-free number for you right here in North America. Don't be shy. Give it a try. Don't delay. Call right away. We want to hear from you today. And the phone lines are open for you. Matthew Gubensky will answer that phone call, and he will get you up on the board, and I will have an opportunity, a blessing, really, to talk with you today. We also invite you to use the chat feature at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel. That is there for you, too. Michael McCall will retrieve your question or comment, your testimony, and get it up on the board. In addition to all of that, you can text us. Text the letters EWTN to 581-77. Wait for our response. Put your information in there, and do know that message and data rates may apply. Pete in Salem, Massachusetts, EWTN app is the way he's with us. Good morning to you, good man.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, and Jeanette, you?
Jeanette, I'm in a fire, literally in a fire. I'm dealing with cancer in my family. My brother is terminally ill with stage 4 colon cancer. Oh. My younger sister has got a breast tumor, and my older sister has a brain tumor right now.
Dear heavens, Pete.
And I lost my older brother 2 years ago to a 10-year battle with multiple myeloma. I mean, when it hits the fans on it hits the fans.
Yes, it does. Oh, my goodness, Pete.
So I'm dealing with my brother, who probably has less than a month to live. And it's just a very difficult time.
Of course it is. Of course it is. Oh, my goodness, Pete. You know, when you say you're in the fire, you certainly are. You're in the crucible. Oh, Father God, we just come before you in this moment, and I lift your son Pete up to you. Father, there are moments, you know, when we see the absolute onslaught of difficulties and struggles and trials, and nothing is greater than watching our loved ones suffer, Lord. Nothing is greater than watching our loved ones suffer. And for whatever reason, Father God, you have permitted this trial to come into Pete's life. And one thing I do know, Lord, is that you tell us in sacred scripture that you work all things to the good for those who are called according to your purposes. And I'll tell you what, Lord, when we look at realities like this through the eyes of the world, we see no good. What we see is the triumph of disease. We see the triumph of mayhem. We see the triumph of the enemy. But Lord, when we look at it through spiritual eyes, we see something different. We see that in the midst of it all, Lord God, you are purifying and you are working out the ultimate healing, which is the healing of the soul. Father God, from the moment we're conceived in our mother's wombs, you know the moment that you will take us home. You know that, Lord. And you also know the way in which we will come back to you, the means by which this coming home to you will be affected. That is always part of the cross, Lord. It is always part of the cross, because resurrection only comes by way of the cross. And now here's Pete. and his family members, Joe, who he thinks has less than a month, his two sisters, suffering with brain tumor and breast cancer, the loss of his brother to multiple myeloma a year ago. Father God, this was the means by which you determined that your sons, and perhaps your daughters too, would return to you. But Father, we know that in the midst of this, such grace is available, such opportunity for growth and for healing. Father God, I pray for your son Pete. You know, you have entrusted in a very special way his brotherhood to these individuals. And you are forging this brotherhood in this crucible of fire. Father God, you are making that brotherhood pure, and you are making it holy, and you are making it a mirror of your love for them. And this is my prayer for Pete right now, Lord, that the love that you have for his sisters, the love that you have for Joe, the love that you have for the brother who has already gone on to his eternal reward, that that love would so radiate through Pete that he would be a source of hope and consolation for them. That when they look at Pete, they see you. Father God, the only way that that happens is through the very way in which our salvation came. And it came by way of the cross of your son. And so I ask, Father, that in those moments when Pete is low, in those moments when the cross is so heavy, in those moments when his suffering for his siblings is so great, that he takes all of that suffering and he offers it in union with your son's own suffering, that this suffering might be purified and made holy and might be effective in the lives and in the spiritual lives of his brother and his sisters. Father God, I pray for them. I pray that they too would see in their own suffering this opportunity to suffer in union with Christ, to carry this portion of his cross. I ask, Father God, that they might have the gift of seeing that through their own suffering, many souls can be saved. Souls can be released from purgatory. Their own reparation for the sins of their lives might take place through the very suffering that you've entrusted to them. That when their soul leaves their body, it might fly to you. That it just might bypass purgatory and be welcomed into that beauty and that wonder of the beatific vision. Father God, none of us will survive this life. We will all have this moment in our life. May we use every moment of travail and every moment of suffering and every moment of reversal and every disappointment and every single opportunity for your honor and glory and for our salvation. We offer this prayer to you, Father God, in union with the cross of your Son. We offer it in his name. We offer it by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we offer it with a maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. Mother, I ask you to lift your son Pete up, to wrap him in your mantle, to take him into your immaculate heart, and there, Mother, to be his solace and his comfort by way of your spouse, the Holy Spirit, as he suffers with, co-passions with his sisters and his brother. We thank you, Father, for the multitudinous ways that you offer us to be your sign and your witness, your testimony of life on high in your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Pete, I want you to know that I am tucking you in a very special way into my rosary, that you might be that fragrance of Christ in the lives of your siblings right now, that you might be the presentation of his face to them, and that I will be praying for each one of them as they move forward through time here, and I will have prayers requested for them, okay?
Thank you, Jen. I really know what I look at my brother, and he's truly on Calvary right now.
Yes, yes. Yeah. You know, Pete, and isn't it beautiful when we can see that sign and that witness? How many times I saw that when my late husband, Anthony, was dying of brain cancer. And just his one good arm outstretched to the cross, you know, just asking our Lord for the strength that he needed to endure and to suffer well. And I'm sure that that's what Joe is doing, and your sisters too. And I am sure that you are a St. John standing at the foot of their cross along with our Blessed Lady, giving them that comfort and that encouragement that they need. God bless you, Pete.
God bless you, Jonah. Thank you so much for your prayers.
You're so welcome. Bye-bye now. Oh, boy. You see, and here is another testimony, you know. This time a testimony of great trial and great suffering, right? Maggie's a testimony of the travail of a mother for her son, right? But you see, all of this is used by God to speak a word to us. All of it is used in that way. We have to open our hearts to the marvelous way in which God works in and through all things. We don't understand the ways of God. They're not the way in which we would operate. They're the way of the Spirit. And this God is omniscient. He knows precisely what he's doing, and he's always working for the benefit of the soul. Always working for the benefit of the soul. And we hold on to that truth. We hold on to that reality. Let's go to Maria. She is in Richmond, Virginia today, listening to us via YouTube. Good morning to you, Maria.
Hi, Jenna. Well, I felt like that last part was for me, too. I'm just calling for your prayers, your wisdom, and your thoughts. I'll try to keep it together here. I'm just approaching 35, and I'm just terrified. I'd be married to a child, and my eggs are dying by the day, and it's just, I've just done all the rosaries, all the novenas, and I'm just feeling like a waste of space and pretty miserable, and I just feel like it's never going to happen. And
oh, baby.
I'm not sure what to do anymore.
Oh, honey. Well, let's not think of dying eggs in our bodies, okay? You know, I understand the time of fertility. I understand that, you know, and I know what you mean. And I know that there are nosedive moments, but nothing is impossible with God. You know, I know of so many women who have conceived children well into their 40s, who have conceived children in their early 50s. God works all things to the good, and we don't want to lose hope, right? And I want to assure you of something, Maria. You know, obviously, biological motherhood is the desire of women who feel this call to married life. And when it doesn't happen, whether they are married and it doesn't happen, or they're not married, and so the prospect for that is diminishing, the fact of the matter is that does not in any way prohibit us from being a mother, a spiritual mother. It doesn't really prohibit us from being a mother to a child that could be adopted. So I don't want you to lose heart. The evil one wants to jump on this, honey, and he wants to crush you. He wants to crush you, and he wants to incite into your mind that your chances are limited and your chances are slim. But just, you know, in the nick of time, when God knows it's the right time, if it should be his holy will for you to proceed in that way, it's going to happen. And so we hold on to that hope. We cling to that hope. But in the meantime, we actively engage in the opportunity for spiritual maternity. We actively engage in that because a woman is called to motherhood, whether she has biological children or not. It's written into our DNA. And when we engage actively engage in that pursuit, we sense interiorly a type of fulfillment that's taking place. It can only take place that way. So that also puts us into the position of exercising, you know, that reality in a positive way, taking ourselves out of the cycle of depression and worry and concern and anxiety that the evil one wants to put us in, you know, conjuring up eggs dying by the minute, you know. He will do those things. He will incite those ideas into our mind. So, Father God, in this moment, in this last minute that we have, I lift up to you. I lift up to you your daughter, Maria. She feels called to marriage. She feels called to motherhood. Father God, if this is your perfect will for her, affect this in her life. And we ask, Father God, you know, you can work in the nick of time, and I'm asking for nick of time response, Lord. I'm asking for that. And we pray this prayer in hope and in confidence, but in the calm assurance that you have a plan and a mission for us, and it will be achieved when we give fiat to it. So Maria, give fiat to this moment that is present to you right now. We offer this prayer to you, Father, in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with a maternal beatitude and intercession of Our Lady and Mother, crush the head of the serpent that is driving your daughter to near distraction. Amen. God bless all of you now. Bye-bye.